Hello again, welcome back to Classic Vinyl Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Justin. I'm here with my other host, Tyler. How are you doing today, Tyler?
I am so privileged to be here tonight.
So today we're going to do one of Jimi Hendrix's songs, Stone Free. It's a non-album single that he released as a B-side, and it came out later on a couple other albums, but we'll get to that. So let me give you a little history on Jimi Hendrix. So May of 1966, Jimi Hendrix, he was a struggling on the R&B circuit, but he actually met Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones, and they actually became fast friends. And Keith Richards introduced him to Chas Chandler, and he wanted to manage and produce artists, and he was interested in Hey Joe, the song, and so he brought him to London and signed him right there. And they soon formed the Jimi Hendrix Experience, and that consists of course, Jimi Hendrix on vocals and guitar, Noel Redding on bass, and Mitch Mitchell on drums. And the Jimi Hendrix Experience was signed by Kit Lambert and Chris Stamp, who was actually the managers for the band The Who at the time. And they signed him to Track Records in October of 1966. And one of the things that really made Jimmy famous, he was playing at a famous club in London called The Bag of Nails, a famous nightclub. And he had all kinds of stars that would be there, like Eric Clapton, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Jeff Beck, Pete Townsend, Brian Jones, Mick Jagger, and every one of them, when they saw Hendrix, were just absolutely stunned by what he could do on guitar. Anybody that knows Hendrix knows he isn't like the best singer in the world, but for some reason it just fits with what he does. The first single the Jimi Hendrix Experience released is actually Hey Joe, which was a cover, and it had this song that we're doing today, Stone Free, as the B-side. It hit number 6 on the charts, and March of 67 is when he came out with Purple Haze with The Wind Cries Mary as the B-side, and that hit number 6 on the charts. And their debut album, Are You Experienced, which we've actually reviewed here on this podcast, a lot of people consider that one of the best debut albums by an artist of all time. And I would have to agree, it's a pretty powerful album.
For sure.
One other thing that helped propel Jimmy to stardom was when he played the Monterey Pop Festival. And he was actually recommended to the people putting that festival together by Paul McCartney, because McCartney had seen him at the Bag of Nails Club. And that's the time he famously lit his guitar on fire on stage. And you see that in all kinds of old clips and things. But and that performance led to bookings with Big Brother and the Holding Company, you know, Janis Joplin, Jefferson Airplane, the Monkees, big artists. That really propelled him. Their second album they released was called Axis, Bold as Love. That album actually reached number 5 in the UK, number 3 in the US. And then their third album was Electric Ladyland, which reached number 6 in the UK, number 1 in the US. He did record one other album, Band of Gypsies, but that was not with the Experience. So the one thing that was really neat is in August of 1969 at Woodstock, he was the headliner, and he was the highest paid musician in rock at the time.
Wow.
And of course, he played that with the Band of Gypsies. It wasn't the Experience band there either. And he's really well known for the Star-Spangled Banner he played there with the feedback, the distortion, the sustain on guitar. I think everybody's heard his rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner.
If you haven't, you're missing out.
Yeah, you really need to go check it out.
That's a really impressive fact that he came from pretty much nothing in 1966, 3 years later headlining Woodstock and being the highest paid musician there.
I mean, his whole career was just a flash in the pan, a giant flash.
Talk about meteoric. Yeah.
Yeah, that still burns today. Of course, September 18th of 1970 is when Jimi Hendrix died, another famous member of the 27 Club. His death was ruled asphyxia while intoxicated with barbiturates. What Jimi Hendrix did in 4 short years is what's really impressive. I don't think there's too much debate that most people consider him the greatest guitarist of all time. And I think that's what overrides his vocals and everything. And what makes him so amazing is the things he did on guitar, the sounds he got out of guitar, the evolution he brought to guitar is just absolutely amazing. And still to this day, there's very few people that wouldn't say he's the greatest guitarist of all time. But all in all, Jimi Hendrix has sold over 110 million albums worldwide. He's released more albums after his death than he did, you know, during the time he was active. So it's pretty amazing, the live albums and the outtakes and things. And we'll kind of get into that with Stone Free was another song that we actually listened to both versions today. So we'll kind of give some information on that as well. Do you want to get to the song review?
I think so.
And now it's time for the song review.
So, of course, today we're doing Jimi Hendrix and his single Stone Free. So this song was released in the U.S. on September 15th, 1969. But funny enough, it was released in the U.K. on December 16th of 1966. So almost 3 years difference between those. It was recorded in London and produced by Chaz Chandler. So it was released in the UK as the B-side of Hey Joe in 1966, where it reached number 6 in the UK on the charts. And then it wasn't released in the US until 1969, like I stated. But it was on the album Smash Hits, which, funny enough, is an album I got from my dad. And it was released as a single at that time with a song called If Six Was Nine as the B-side. And it did not chart in the U.S. in 1969, mm-hmm. funny enough.
So that was the same version from 1966 that they released in the U.S.,
right? Yes, it was the same version. But at the time, a lot of things had changed. And he actually re-recorded the version in 1969. It didn't end up on an album until 2010. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. Mm-hmm. But of course, on this song, the Jimi Hendrix Experience is made up of Jimi Hendrix on vocals and guitar, Noel Redding on bass, and Mitch Mitchell on drums. This song is Jimi Hendrix's first composition with the Experience. And when he was doing Hey Joe, he had some other songs in mind that he wanted as the B-sides, but he wanted to do covers. But Chaz Chandler sat him down and said, you need to write a song. You know, a lot of the reason is the folklore of it is because Chaz Chandler told him, you want publishing rights to these songs. This is how you're going to make money. You don't want to use two cover songs. And he sat down and wrote Stone Free, and that's what ended up as the B-side of Hey Joe. So this is somewhat of a counterculture anthem with the lyrics. They kind of praise the fancy and free life that you were having at the time, the free love type of movement. And it really reflected Jimmy's restless lifestyle at the time.
This is the theme music of people that don't button up their shirts.
Basically, yeah. This song was recorded in 1969. He actually recorded it before it was released on Smash Hits and before it was released as a single. But the version he recorded is quite a bit different. It's definitely more polished, and it reflected a little more of his frustrations he was having about his management at the time and things like that. And that version of the song, you can find it on Spotify, but it actually came out in 2010 on his album Valleys of Neptune. And it's kind of interesting for me. I'm so used to the original version, listening to Smash Hits for all those years. The newer version, although it has some things that I like better in it, just doesn't seem quite right. It seems like a remake of a song, which is what it is.
It needs more cowbell.
maybe that's what it is. But so what are your thoughts on this song?
Oddly enough, that's one of the notes I wrote down, is needs more cowbell, because there is a lot of cowbell in the 1966 version. And it fits nice. Okay, so the song starts up with your quintessential typical Jimi Hendrix guitar open. I mean, you can hear who's playing that guitar.
You know, that's one thing funny about Hendrix. A lot of people say, you know, I can tell this guitarist style and that guitarist style. And sometimes that's hard for me, but it's not hard for me with Jimmy. You can tell his style through and through. It's just so different than everything else, even to this day.
He's got a signature on it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So it's a very simple sounding song, but I was listening to that and thinking, okay, you know, there's actually a lot more instruments being played than I'm hearing, because they're all meshing very well together. This band, the Experience, they fit well together. It sounds really clean. It sounds really simple and basic, but really it's quite complex when you sit and pick it apart and try looking for the individual tracks or the individual, you know, the bass line versus the drum line versus the lead guitar. And I really appreciate that about this. This is pretty unique coming from a kid who's 23 years old. He's that good at playing the guitar. I mean, it blows me away to think about that. This kid is 23 years old in 1966. And he's playing this good. Now, as far as the lyrics go, I really like this song. This is all about being true to yourself and not the only way to be true to yourself is to stop caring what other people think. And that's where you create your art. And this is a masterpiece. And the reason why this song is a masterpiece is because I really get that feeling that Jimi Hendrix is sticking the middle finger up to the man or, you know, whoever it is. It's all about, you know, people trying to punch down on you, people trying to criticize you or make fun of you, you know, taunt the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you hold yourself. He's just like, it doesn't matter what any of them think. You keep holding yourself the way you do. You keep doing you. And you be true to yourself. And that's where the best art comes from, because you don't make the best art when you're making it for somebody else. And we listened to both versions. The second version, I gotta say, is a lot easier to understand the lyrics because it's just a little cleaned up, a little polished. But man, I really dig this song. It's a nice one. And I love that message. What are your thoughts on this one, Justin?
Well, I've listened to this song for a lot of years, and it's a good song, but I think the first thing that comes to mind to me is it's not mixed great. I kind of disagree with you on that. I think it does open with a little bit of the guitar, but it's got a real echoey vocal. The drums are way in the background, and you hear the cowbell or pots and pans or whatever it is, because it kind of sounds...
It does sound like
pots and pans to me. The thing is the bass, once it kicks in, is really good in it. Mm-hmm. And Noel Redding's an amazing bass player, always has been. The guitar is really in the background in the verses. And that's not signature Jimmy. And now, of course, this is the first song he wrote. And who knows what input he had on how it was mixed. He wasn't a huge star or anything like that. So he probably didn't have a huge input. But I would have liked to see more guitar on this. And if I'm... not jumping ahead, but comparing it to the later song that was on Valleys of Neptune, the guitar on that song is absolutely amazing.
Oh, it was, yeah.
But something about that song just doesn't feel right. And I'm sure that's partially because I've listened to this version for so many years. It feels like what it is. It's a re-recording. You know, you have a lot of artists that had smash hits in the 60s and 70s, and then sometimes in the 90s, they re-record them, and they just, they're cleaner sounding, they're better sounding, they're mixed better, but they just... they're not right. And that's kind of how that song strikes me. If the 69 version was the only one I'd ever heard, I think in a way it is a superior musically song. It's superior, but I really like the lyrics in this, you know, talk about me like a dog, talk about the clothes that I wear. It's pretty straightforward in what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He says he wants to live a free life and he doesn't really care what people are saying about him, but yet he's singing about what people are saying about him. So he must care about it a little bit.
Yeah, but at the same time, he also wrote the cowbell track to be further towards the front than the electric guitar.
Yeah, stone free to do what I please, stone free to ride the breeze. So, I mean, it is. It's 66 getting into all that's going to become the summer love and all that. This is kind of a pretense to it. It's got an excellent guitar solo in the middle. And, of course, what Jimi Hendrix song doesn't really... I mean, if he plays guitar, it's going to be excellent. I'm not the largest Jimi Hendrix fan in the world, but he's got a lot of material I like. I mean, he didn't release that much material, let's be honest. I mean, I like all three of his albums with The Experience quite well. I listen to all three. I don't skip any songs on them. I enjoy them. And his live albums are amazing, too. I haven't dove into them as deep as I should, but... That's about the only thing I can say. The 69 version, I do know that Noel Redding, the bass player, did not play on that. He had a different bass player, and I used to know his name, but I can't remember. It's mixed better, but it just doesn't hit the same. But a decent song, nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Do you want to get to the song rating?
Let's rate it.
Song rating.
All right, if this is your first time listening, we have a 0 to 10 scale on our rating system. 0 is it's garbage, and 10 is it's a masterpiece. This one hits pretty high for me. This one, I rated it an 8 on the 66 version. On the 69 version, I even bumped it a point up to a 9. But I'm going to average them out, 8.5, even though we don't do a 0.5 system. Hey, it's our podcast. We can do what we want. I'm going to give us an 8.5. Where do you put it?
I'm not quite as high as you on this. I probably rate this a 6.5. It's a good song, but I think in the term of Jimi Hendrix, it just doesn't, I think it's too early for him and it doesn't quite hit right. But that being said, being the B-side of Hey Joe, I love Jimi Hendrix's version of Hey Joe. I didn't know it was a cover song for the longest time. I thought that was his song, and let's be honest, it really is his song. 6.5 on this, I would probably give the 69 version a 6. Musically, it's much better, but it's just not quite the same because I'm not used to it. But a decent song, nonetheless. I've always enjoyed it. It's not a skipper for me. And
much like Van Gogh, the artist, died before he ever, you know, hit the top, I guess, or became famous. Jimmy was taken way too soon as well. And who knows what kind of music we would have got from, because he was on an exponential rise to stardom. And
sometimes when these musicians die, that's what martyrs them and what makes them great. You know, we talk about Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, or any of those groups. When you want to compare them when they've had members die, especially key members, it does martyr them in a certain manner. And I think that makes them more popular, unfortunately. If Jimi Hendrix would have kept making albums and music until the day, would it be diluted and we wouldn't enjoy it? I don't know. That's really hard to say.
I think we would, unless he turned out to be some sort of asshole, but I don't see that.
No, but there's something about burning bright.
Yeah, the top of your game.
Yeah. Something about it.
That throws you into a legendary status.
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison, obviously. You can throw Janis Joplin in there. Those are the three big ones from the 27 Club in that time that really happened. You can look at, say, John Lennon when he died, but that was after the Beatles were done and things like that. You've got Brian Jones, who was in the 27 Club from the Stones, but he wasn't a big member of the Stones at that time, so it wasn't as impactful, but unfortunate either way. So that's Jimi Hendrix, Stone Free. Let us know what you think. ClassicVinylPodcast@gmail.com. And like always, we really appreciate you giving us a chance and listening to us. Until next time.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to Classic Vinyl Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Classic Vinyl Podcast for updates and also share us with your music-loving friends.